Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
In Genesis 8, verse 21, this is what the Word of God says. The Lord said, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake.
It's amazing how many people think that the earth is still cursed, but it's not. Did you hear that? God removed the curse from the earth. And as I was listening to those lines, honey, you know, curse-breaking scripture. Wow. God showed me a dynamic revelation that he wants loosed into our lives.
Deuteronomy 11, verse 26 says, today I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse.
It's our choice. That's right. We choose blessing or cursing. Too many Bible-believing, church-going folks doubt that the blessings of God apply in their lives. I don't know if you've ever been guilty of that thinking, but you're going to change it after today's call. What caused God to suddenly reverse the curse on the earth that Adam's sin had caused? This is an important event in history that actually can change your financial destiny right now. The answer lies with Noah. It has everything to do with the largest offering that was ever made.
In Genesis 7, verse 2, we find out exactly how many clean animals entered the ark with Noah before the flood came. It says, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, a male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean, two, and the male and the female.
Something extremely significant happens in the 8th chapter of Genesis. Noah makes an offering to God. And this offering so impresses God that he completely removes the curse off the earth.
Genesis 8, verse 20 says, and Noah builded an ark unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord.
Now, get the picture here. When Noah enters the ark, he has 14 cows, 7 males, 7 females. He has 14 sheep, 14 oxen. These are all the sheep in the world. These are all the oxen in the world. These are all the cows in the world. And Noah builds an altar. And he takes 2 of the clean cows, sheep, and oxen, and 2 of every other clean beast and fowl. He slays them and gives an offering to God.
In thanks for a safe landing, I'd like to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think you can see why this is considered the most expensive offering ever made. The reason we can say this is because, see, God counts things differently than we count.
There is a reason for it, because the scripture says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. That's in Isaiah.
God doesn't think like we do. Someone makes $1 million. If they make $1 million offering, we ooh and ah about what a big offering it is. But God uses a different measure than we do. In Mark 12, we read about a little widow who comes to the temple to make what would seem to man to be a very small offering. But listen and see how Jesus judges this offering.
In Mark 12, verse 41 through 43, And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites. And he called unto him his disciples and said, verily, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than all they which have cast into the offering.
Amazing as it may seem, Jesus says this poor, seemingly insignificant little widow woman had given more than anyone else. To the natural mind, that wouldn't make any sense. Everyone knows that 2 mites is not as much as $100,000. But look carefully at how Jesus, listen to this, how Jesus viewed the offering.
Mark 12:44 goes on to say, "For all that they did cast in of their abundance, excess, but she of her want did cast in all she had, even all her living."
When Jesus looks into the offering envelopes and decides who gave the biggest offering, he doesn't pay much attention to how much is given. It's how much you have left after you've given. There are some people who come to the altar and say, "Brother Harold, I gave the widow's mite today." They really mean that they only gave a few cents or maybe a dollar or two. The scripture says, though, that this woman didn't have anything left. She walked out of church that day with absolutely nothing. That's because God doesn't look at how much was given, but how much was left after the gift. He knows whether or not we're playing games. He understands that. Can't keep anything from God. And let me just say this, God isn't going to prosper or increase us if we're playing games with him when it comes to his money.
So let's go back and look at the curse-breaking scripture in Genesis 8:20. Now, this is the scripture that breaks the curse off the earth. Doesn't take sin out of the world, breaks the curse off the earth. "And Noah builded an ark unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor and said, I will not curse the ground any longer."
Remember in Genesis 7:2, where it listed the inventory of the animals that Noah had? Noah had just come through the flood. He looks around and sees that there are only those 14 cows, 14 sheep on the earth. He took two of the last 14 cows on the earth, put them on the altar. Then he took two of the last 14 oxen, put them on the altar. Now he only has 12. That is, if he didn't eat any meat during the time of the flood. When Noah had finished the offering, he'd given God two of every clean beast and fowl. The scripture is clear. He did not give those from big herds and flocks, but from a small amount of animals that made up all the living livestock of their kind on planet Earth.
It's amazing.
That's why we can say with surety that Noah gave the biggest offering ever given. It was significant enough that God removes the curse from the ground. How many people would have said they needed to wait, and maybe in 2 or 3 years, they could give a significant offering?
That's a good point.
Noah didn't say that. He said, "God brought us through the flood. He supplied for my family and me." Noah held nothing back from God. He gave significantly from all that was left upon the face of the earth. And for this act, God broke the curse over the earth. And from that day forward, Noah had a life, well, he moved, honey, into a lifestyle, a wealthy lifestyle of plenty.
Did you know that God has promised you a wealthy place where you and your loved ones can live in peace and prosperity? Listen to Psalm 66:12. Psalm 66:12 says, "We went through the fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out and into a wealthy place."
Right now, this is the time for us to break the curse of debt, lack, and poverty off you, your family, and your finances. If that witnesses with your spirit, we want you to pray the following prayer with us. Heavenly Father, I've been through the fire and the water. Now I'm ready to move into my own wealthy place. I'm joining my faith with the man and woman of God to break the curse of poverty, lack, and debt. I'm believing that curses will be completely broken out of my life. I'm extending my faith for every debt to be paid in full, in the immediate manifestation of an overflowing harvest in my life. I will not doubt. I will take steps of faith as you direct. Dear Lord, I ask you to tell me exactly how much you want me to give as a powerful, curse-breaking seed. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen.
Now, I want you to hear the next part of this very carefully. The next time God directs you to give an offering, whether it's today or tomorrow at church, I want you to be ready. Get ready. See, in my spirit, I know that you're going to be shaken by the amount that God tells you to give. However, if you're obedient and give the exact amount that God says, we believe you will hear the Holy Spirit say to you, this dear saint gives more than anyone else. Your gift is significant to you, so it's definitely significant to me.
Amen.
In our spirit, we know you will feel God's presence and hear his voice, regardless of where you are, at home, in church, driving to work, shopping, or no matter what you're doing. At that moment, we know that you will feel God speaking to you.
That unction of the Holy Spirit.
Now, we want to summarize in conclusion the seven ways to reverse the curse. Number one, make your choice between a blessing and a curse.
It's your choice. Number two, mentally and spiritually prepare yourself to move into your wealthy place.
Number three, pray the curse-breaking confession and prayer over your life.
Number four, write the confession out and pray three times a day for the next 7 days. In other words, cement it in your spirit.
Number five, ask God to reveal what is a significant curse-breaking seed for you.
And number six, pray over your curse-breaking seed. And we'll pray in agreement with you.
Yes, we will.
Right now in Jesus' name.
And number seven, sow your curse-breaking seed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You grab a hold of this teaching. You may need to do the replay. Hear it again. But if this gets down inside of you, things are going to change.
Amen.
Things are going to change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well,
it's a defining moment.
and join us tomorrow night.
That's right. We'll tell you again tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we will. But Sunday Night Live.
That's it.
You'll love it.
You will.
If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And while you're there, check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.